Juneteenth is a portmanteau of June and 19th, or 18th. Well, historians aren't exactly sure which, but Juneteenth is a commemoration of the end of slavery in the United States. This weekend, the Atlanta History Center celebrates with a variety of free events. Atlanta History Center Museum Theater Director Adai Moon is a major part of the weekend's programming. Adai is also a playwright, director, and teaching artist, and the History Center will present two of his plays. Lois Reitze spoke with Adai, who first explained what exactly museum theater is.
Well, museum theater is a way of interpreting history, artifacts, exhibits, outside of the confines of what we normally associate with what happens in museums. So it's a way of engaging the visitor in the experience.
And what are your responsibilities at the Atlanta History Center?
Well, it's a great day gig for a playwright because I get to do a lot of research and do a lot of writing and directing and working with some really talented local actors. So that's what I do.
Had you always applied history to your theatrical work before working at the Atlanta History Center?
Well, there were always aspects of history. I mean, I'm a history nerd. I love history even prior to working at the History Center. But this is really the first opportunity I had to really immerse myself in history and try to find ways of making history engaging and interesting to people and trying to build that bridge between what happened in the past and what's going on now. So it's been a really great experience.
This weekend brings the Atlanta History Center's Juneteenth celebration, which commemorates the end of slavery in the United States. Please tell us about this historical moment.
So the great thing about Juneteenth is that there's some myths associated with it. The common myth of Juneteenth is that African Americans enslaved people in Texas had no idea that they had been emancipated. Through the research that we've done, we found out that that really wasn't the case. So a large part of what we're trying to do with some of the programming is really shatter those myths. It's really about General Gordon Granger going into Texas to ensure that the enslaved people in that state were being treated fairly.
How was the discovery made that was a myth?
Well, a lot of it is just more contemporary scholarship that we have as it relates to Juneteenth, and also looking at some of the oral histories from enslaved people in Texas, in which they talk about finding out about the emancipation and the fact that some people actually left prior to June 19th. So that gave us the idea that, well, maybe this lingering myth about Juneteenth being their discovery isn't exactly accurate.
What about the very name, Juneteenth? Is there some ambiguity?
Yeah, it's funny because it's the 18th and 19th are when the troops came into Texas. And so where the teenth came from, we have absolutely no idea.
You tell the entire Juneteenth story in a three-person half-hour play. And you do it through the story of characters Cora and James Lewis with their journey from slavery to citizenship. Mm-hmm. What research was required to understand not only the general facts of the day, but also the emotional and psychological impact of emancipation?
Right. So Cora and James are what we would call composite characters. They're based upon, they're really an amalgamation of a lot of different things that we learned from studying the slave narratives from Texas. And so they were sort of combined, the elements of different narratives were combined to create these two characters. But what I was really interested in as a writer is this idea of freedom and how ambiguous that must have been for newly emancipated enslaved people. And so the center, I guess the arc of that play is really about them exploring the idea of freedom and what that means and how ambiguous it was for people who'd just been freed.
I would think it might have been difficult for them to believe that, you know, perhaps they thought it was a cruel hoax.
Yeah. And even after the fact, with the actual the only actual character is Gordon Granger, who was the general that came in to ensure that the people were liberated. There's a part in the play where Cora talks to him, and he makes it really clear that, you know, this is not going to be easy. This is really the first step of an ongoing process. So, you know, freedom, liberation in general is an ongoing process that we're still going through.
It seems that an understanding of the psychological impact is a very important part of your work at the museum. There's a limit to how much a placard or a historical artifact can do to stir an emotional reaction, mm-hmm. but theater can put one in the historical moment. It can make you feel you're a part of what happened. In terms of vernacular and the facts, do you take artistic liberties to make the stories more relatable for contemporary audiences?
I think what I really focus on is making sure that the objectives of the characters are strong. I think when you have characters in any piece that you do, especially in museum theater, when they are pursuing a very specific goal, then for some reason the audience is able to empathize with them. So it's really not that much of a stretch for most people. And we also have this, one of our tenets with the museum theater program, Meet the Past, is that we really try to immerse the audience in the play as much as possible. So there is no fourth wall. They're talking direct, the audience is a part of the experience. And so that's another way of sort of pulling them in.
But the dramaturg in you does not become fixated on which words or what inflection might have been spoken in 1865.
I think, especially when it comes to vernacular and speech, I think it's all about the rhythm more so than the dialect. So, especially working with the actors, we really try to get them to mimic a rhythm that's similar to what would have been the case in that time period. The last thing I want is to try to do a dialect-driven piece. It can be really frustrating and problematic as well. So we really focus on trying to get the rhythm of the language.
In trying to create these composite characters mm-hmm. and trying to convey the emotion and understanding of what they were going through, it must be particularly difficult because you cannot read first-hand accounts.
Right.
So how do you come to compile a narrative mm-hmm. when it's oral history?
Well, a lot of it is really about, you know, this is showing my age, but a lot of it I consider it like remixing. It's like sampling. So what I do is I take, you know, aspects of different narratives and combine them to create these stories. An example of one of the narratives that I read, it talked about how Mexicans helped some of the enslaved Africans in Texas escape by rigging these flatboats on the river. That was one of the light bulb moments with regards to the fact that the enslaved people knew about the emancipation. And so that little piece of, I guess, resistance history was something I didn't know anything about. And I found it from a little portion in one person's slave narrative. And so I took, you know, elements from different narratives and combined them. And by doing that, it gives me the freedom as a writer to create a character and think about a character's motivations and their feelings about what they're experiencing.
That's City Lights host Lois Reitzes with playwright and Atlanta History Center Museum Theater Director Adai Moon. We'll hear more from their conversation after a short break on City Lights from member-supported 90.1 WABE Atlanta.
Support for WABE comes from City Winery, a music venue, restaurant, bar, and private event space offering dinner and winery tours in their restaurant and the option of signing up for wine classes. More info at citywinery.com/Atlanta. And from Cumberland Trust. an independent trust company partnering with financial advisors to help guide families through the complexities of wealth transfer. Details at CumberlandTrust.com.
This is City Lights, and we're back with playwright Adai Moon, the director of Museum Theater at the Atlanta History Center. Two of his plays are being performed this weekend as part of their Juneteenth celebration programming.
You mentioned that there's no fourth wall. Would you tell us more about how theater works at the museum? Is there a stage, or does the play function in a site-specific location?
So for Order of Freedom, it's going to take place at the Kennedy Theater. So that's the actual stage. For most of the museum theater pieces, they take place in the galleries. And so we place the audience in role. So when the person is speaking to the audience, they're speaking to a person. And that there's something about placing the audience in role that automatically makes them connect with whatever the actor is saying and really sort of submit to the journey and be willing and open to go along with it.
Another one of your plays taking place during the Juneteenth celebration features the story of Dave the Potter. Who was he?
Dave Drake was this exceptional artist, an enslaved man from Edgefield, South Carolina. His work is pretty well known and extremely expensive. And so we have two of Dave's pots at the museum, and it's been there for years. When I first started working at the History Center, I saw the pots and was really drawn to them. And then I started doing research on Dave, and his story is just extraordinary. An enslaved man who would sign his pots with his name and occasionally with poetry at a time when it was illegal for an enslaved person to read or write.
Do we know how those works survived?
I think people held on to them, and then at some point, you know, they became the thing for people to collect. So, and there are lots of very well-known people own some Dave Potts.
Yeah.
And we were lucky to have two of them.
It seems incredible that his work has been saved throughout all those years. And now, knowing so much about him, what is it like when you look at those pieces on display?
I'm still a little breathless whenever I go to the back of our folk art exhibit and see those pieces. They're beautiful pieces. But also when you attach the fact that this was a man who was really trying to find a way to make sure that his voice was heard even through his pots, at a time when people questioned his very humanity, it just makes it even more powerful.
Which historical events or characters are you working on?
Right now, I am working on a piece about women at the turn of the 20th century. The working title is Woman's Work, is what it's called right now. It will probably change. But it's going to be an immersive piece that focuses on women factory workers, as well as a little smidgen of a story about the washerwomen and the washerwomen's strike in Atlanta at the turn of the century.
I am not familiar. Please tell us more.
The Atlanta washerwomen's strike was one of the earliest strikes by working class women in America, and these are African American women who were the washerwomen for very wealthy whites, and they wanted an increase in pay. So they decided to strike to get an increase in pay. And in this piece, Woman's Work, I really want to focus on their story as well as other women who had to work in the early 20th century.
On the topic of notable Southern women, Atlanta specifically, tell us more about Tomorrow's Another Day.
Well, Tomorrow's Another Day was a piece that I wrote because, you know, the History Center also is, that Margaret Mitchell House is a part of the History Center. And I had some personal issues with Gone with the Wind. And so I knew eventually I would have to write something about it. And so I started really, really thinking about it and for the first time read the novel. And I read it several times. And I was only familiar with the film. And the film is, to me, tame compared to the novel and some of the things that I found very offensive. But I wanted to make sure that I wanted to tell this really complex story about these two women. So Margaret Mitchell had an assistant who was also her housekeeper. And so the story is really about them, and it's a fictional account. The day it takes place, the day of the opening of Gone with the Wind in Atlanta, the film, and it's really about she sits down with her assistant Betsy, and they talk about Betsy's reading the novel, and Margaret wants to know what she thinks, and the play is pretty much this debate between these two women and Margaret's husband, John Marsh, as well.
Sounds like there's some powerful ideas being discussed in that conversation.
Yeah, so I mean, we go through it all. We go through the class issues in the novel, obviously the issues of race that the novel tackles, and really this idea of who has the right to tell another person's story.
So, Adai.
Yes.
Your training is in drama. You are a playwright. You've acted. You're a dramaturg. Do you consider yourself something of a historian now as well?
No. I'm a playwright and a dramaturg who really enjoys history. I love the fact that as a playwright and a dramaturg, I have a very strong understanding and appreciation of narrative and the power of narrative. And so history has really brought a lot to those things that I do outside of the History Center. And I'm grateful for that.
Adai Moon, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Adai Moon is the director of Museum Theater at the Atlanta History Center. His plays will be performed through the weekend during the History Center's Juneteenth celebration. They're Clay, Palm to Earth, and The Order of Freedom. All events are free. We'll have a web post with more information at wabe.org/citylights.